If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 John chapter 4, and beginning at verse 13. 1 John 4, 13. We know that we live in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like Him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you noticed last week, but you got double dipped. You did. The exact same passage that Pastor Jim preached last week is the same one that I did the very week before. Now, whether you notice or not, I'm not going to say whether it's good or bad or whatever. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. But I was so appreciative of it. I have to tell you, I was. It was similar, but different. It brought up many of the same things and went a couple of different directions. Now, here's what I took from that. God speaks to us. Okay, he's not silent. He wants us to know things. He wants us to know Him. Desperately. As much as I want my children to know me and hear the words I say to them, God speaks. Sherry and I were talking this morning, and it's a common device throughout Scripture that when you see something repeated, you know, the Lord God is one. You hear the, hey, listen. So I had to think, without any pre-planning, without any communication, for Pastor Jim to come stand here and repeat again the very same thing you heard the week before. I believe in a sovereign God. And I think He's saying, Trinity, do you hear me? Are you listening? This whole book, it seems like it's just repetitive. And we're going on and on. And I want us to hear. I want to hear. So I would implore us to listen and hear what God is saying. Because even as we go today and into the verse chapter 5, He keeps on saying many of the same things over and over again. This is important stuff. Now, coming off of last week, all right, we ended at verse 12, which said, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Okay? There's that idea of love. We have to love each other. Really love each other. Affectionately. Warmly, wholesomely, completely, unselfishly, unconditionally for each other. Not just our wives or our children or close friends, but anyone who would say and confess the name of Jesus, the Son of God, we love. Now, if it sounds like a lot of work, yeah, sometimes. But today we're going to look at hopefully some reasons why it shouldn't be so hard, most of the time. Because we come off of these tests, right? And then this command to love and understanding how difficult that can be sometimes. Even just in our own family of God, and then to try to expand it out to our communities, and it's difficult. But we've had it over and over again, right? I mean, not only that, but God gave us, it was 2 weeks in a row, the very same thing. So there's something important here for us. This test of love for each other. It may lead to doubts, right? We've said that all along, that these things are hard sometimes. And what if I'm not measuring up? What if? Am I saved? Do I have the Spirit? How do I know? Well, John, in these next verses, lays out some solid grounds of assurance. That's what we're going to call it. Grounds for assurance. Now, we're going to, there's five of them. Okay, five in these verses, 13 through 21, I think we're going to see five solid grounds for assurance in Christ that we can know and understand that we are in Him and He in us. That's what we saw in verse 12. All right, and know that that is true. Okay, we're going to go for the first three today and then two next week. I was sitting at my kitchen table, dinner table today, and just going, nah, we got to stop here. There's a lot here, okay? So five grounds of assurance. All right? Five of them. Okay, first we see in verse 13. It says, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Ground number one. Ground of assurance number one is we have received the Holy Spirit. That is a rock solid ground of our assurance in Christ. Now, we last heard something similar to that back in chapter 3, verse 24, when John said, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Okay, so we've heard this before, that idea of the Spirit in us and walking in the Spirit and experiencing the Spirit and how weird that can be and odd that is. Yet, it's interesting here that the wording, and the NIV puts it this way, is He's given us of His Spirit. Okay? Now, when you hear it put that way, we have to be careful, all right? We never want to think of the God's Spirit in quantitative terms, I guess would be the way I'd put it, okay? He's not parts to be doled out. He's not a quantity that can be more or less, okay? Remember, you know, our understanding of Scripture and doctrines of, like, the Trinity, the Spirit is a person. All right? He's a person. So you don't have, like, just part of a person. God gives us His Spirit. We have the Spirit. Not just part of it. It's all there. All right? It's not doled out like water, and I can ask for more. Because we hear things like baptized in the Spirit. And again, there's some things that are there for understanding. But always in the back of your mind, think Spirit person. You know, we don't think of spirits in that way. But Father person, sure, easy. Son person, yeah, absolutely. Spirit person, eh. But it's the same. Okay, person. Spirit is person. And so the Spirit as a person should be thought of that way. And so that same Spirit then can equally dwell every Christian at the same time. That's the doctrine of omnipresence, right? The wholeness of the Spirit can be completely in me and completely in you at the very same time. Completely. Mind-blowing. And man, I just lift my hands in praise to that kind of stuff, okay? So now, the theologian David Jacklin, in his commentary, put it this way. And it's interesting. So it is impossible. It's impossible for one to have 60% of the Spirit. Okay, you don't get portions. I guess I'm 60% full, but I need to be full more. In growing up in some of my charismatic circles, they talk about Spirit like a cup of water, and you're saved. You might get filled up the brim, but then you get baptized, and then it's like overflowing the Spirit. That's better. There's some difficulties there. Okay, so it's impossible to have 60% of the Spirit, but not at all impossible not at all impossible, that he has less than all of us. Okay, do you hear that? It's impossible for the Spirit for us to have just 60% of him, but it could be possible that he's not getting all of us. We're not committed. We're not fully embracing him in his wholeness. Okay? So that's why Paul can say in Romans 8 and 9, those who have the Spirit, who don't have the Spirit, are not of him, of Jesus. They don't have Jesus, right? And in Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So he can be talking about things like filled, and it's hard to think person. Okay? But the idea of filling, then, if you think about it in personhood, in person ways, this idea of a constantly energized and directed in the life of God, that and he's with us, that God in us, in every aspect of our lives, his dynamic influence. It's just an awareness of spiritual things that as I'm walking down the street, as I'm living here and there and going and coming and all these things, that God is there and I'm aware of it, and I know he's there with me, and I want him to be honored in the things I say. So when I'm tempted to say something, and I go, oh, no, I'm not going to say that, or I'm not going to do that. Or if a stray thought comes to my mind, I go, no, that's wrong. Or I see somebody who is down and out, or maybe that the world will say, oh, you stay away from them. My heart goes, oh, I want to help them. See, that's living in the dynamism of the spiritual life. That is God's Spirit being in us more and more and more, if you can think it that way. It's actually us more and more to him and his influence. So the first ground then is that dynamic life in God, that it's part of us all the time. Okay, so now as we think about that, and we saw it established earlier that God is love, right? So to be have God's Spirit in this way, then if God is love and Spirit's God, then the Spirit produces us love towards other Christians. See, that's why in some ways this idea of love for one another is less burdensome. It's not just our effort in trying to do something. Just like it's not our effort to save ourselves. This is grace as much as anything. If the Spirit is producing this in us and producing these things, then more and more and more we will love one another more. That's the consequence. That's the result of it. It's a chemical reaction, so to speak. Mixed parts of Spirit in my life, and I surrender more to him, and the result is going to be love for one another. Now, yes, it is work sometimes, and there is an aspect of will there. But this comes out in all kinds of ways then. All right, this living dynamically in the Spirit all the time, and we've talked about throughout this book, in holiness and righteousness, in mercy and love. That's why I love so much about what Pastor Jim gave us last week. He talked about forgiveness, right? I mean, that's almost impossible in some situations. And yet, I loved how he said, no, we forgive. That's what we do. That's who we are. God forgave us. We forgive. That's just how it is. Now, is it easy? No. But that's who we are. And that's what the Spirit does in us. When believers experience the consistent inner constraint to love others unselfishly, that's not normal. All right? We usually want something. But just unselfish love. That so if they do this in an unselfish way towards people they would maybe normally reject or fear or want to marginalize, that's the Spirit of God working in us. That is the Holy Spirit at work. Now, in this idea, we also have to consider the negative. All right? If we can positively be assured of our standing in Christ because we have the Holy Spirit working in us, and we see that because of the work that he's doing in us, particularly in love, but in holiness, righteousness, obedience, all these things, okay? The inverse of that, we have to consider, right? If someone claims to be a Christian, but has no time for fellowship with other believers. If they claim to be a Christian, but what comes out of their mouth is nothing but criticism and putting down or being mean or those kind of things. If someone claims to be a Christian, but their devotion and acts toward God are solitary, just by themselves, does God indwell them? As we're talking about here. And that's a hard thing to think about. We there is the take the log out of your own eye thing here, right? But even as a part of self-reflection or consideration of others, we have to be aware that where the life of God is at work, when He is there, it's going to sweeten bitterness, and it's going to melt hardness, and it's going to multiply love. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And so we can be assured of our walk in Christ because of these things. Everything now, then these other reasons. Okay, that one's first, because that indwelling, that presence of God's Spirit then informs and works out all the other assurances. Okay? And the second one that John gives us, after this indwelling of the Spirit, we receive the Spirit. We see in verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Who is the we? That's the question here. And I think we've seen this before, but I think it's clear that the we here are the apostles. Okay, those who have seen Jesus, right? If you turn your Bible real quick to John. With John 15. Oh, I turned right to it. Cool. John 15 and verse 26. Jesus told His disciples this. He says, "When the Counselor comes," okay, that's the Holy Spirit. "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me. And you also must testify, for you have been with Me from the beginning." So there's that connection there of the God's Spirit out to these disciples, these apostles, and then their testimony to us. So John, I think, here is telling us as a way of assurance that we can be assured in our faith because of God's Spirit working in us and seeing it through these people who were there with Him. We can't see Jesus, right? We can't touch Him, but we do have God's Word passed down from these men who did see Him, who were there, who touched Him, who ate with Him, wandered around with Him, saw Him on the cross, saw Him when He was resurrected, put their fingers in the holes and in the side, right? Those are these people. In 2 Peter 1:16, Peter says something very similar. Oh, Peter's before John, that's right. In 2 Peter, which don't go too often, there we go. 2 Peter 1:16, Peter talks about it in this way. He says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." See, that's the assurance we can have. You know, now, again, this is this whole book of 1 John, we've been having this kind of a side theme of Gnosticism, of these people trying to distort the gospel in these Gnostic special knowledge sorts of ways, right? And this is the assurance we can have, that what we are believing, what we are confessing, what we are understanding, we got right from the people who were there with Jesus. By the Spirit. And so we can understand this message and be assured in it. God, the message then here is, God sent His Son into the world. Okay, not this weird spiritual thing, but actual flesh and blood. Physically came, physically lived, physically died, physically rose again. This is the testimony that we get from the apostles and the witness of the Spirit. And that's how I think they work together. The testimony of the apostles, and for us, the Word of God, the Bible that we have, work together. There's not a separation between our understanding intellectually of what we can read and our understanding of the heart and inner life that we get from the Spirit. They work together. this is inspired word used by the Spirit to bring us life and to build us up in faith. That's why you can read this and just go, wow, I'm so enthralled by this. Or have you ever like read a passage that you've probably read 500 times before and it just hits you in the forehead or a bright light like you've never seen it before? That's the Spirit. That's how they work together. This testimony that we have from the apostles passed down to us with the working of the Spirit assures us. If people are reading this and going, yeah, nice story, that's not the same thing, is it? When we read it, we look at it, when we come here and devotionally and in preaching and in our studies and in our Sunday school times, it's saying that we believe this is true and we are assured in our standing in it. Okay, so that's assurance number two, all right? Apostolic testimony. Spirit works in our lives, is seen in our commitment to God's Word. Our commitment to God's Word, our belief that this is true and we live by it, gives us an assurance in this. Okay, that's number two. Number three of five. We see in verse 15. 15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Assurance number three is that we have personally acknowledged Jesus as God's Son. Simple as that. It is the truth test combined with this test of love, right? If we compare it to verse 12, when it says, if we want to love one another, God is in us and love is made complete in us. Verse 15 tells us, if we acknowledge Jesus, God lives in him and he in us. It's kind of the same thing. It's they work together and are joined in this fellowship. Our relationship with God depends on this historical incarnation, the Son of God, and that's what we teach, and that's what we confess. That's what we acknowledge and say in our minds. We say, yes, this is true. As I understand it, as the Spirit has shown me, I believe, even though I've never seen him, even though I wasn't there, I believe that Jesus is not just a historical figure, wasn't a great teacher, but Jesus was the Son of God. That is the acknowledgement that is important, the distinctive acknowledgement that gives us assurance. Now, of course, we understand this idea of acknowledge is much more than intellectual assent, right? A parrot could say Jesus is the Son of God, all right? But that is not what we're talking about here. It's not less than that, okay? It's never less than. Because some folks in the pendulum swing of ideas, I say, oh, we don't need to say it. We just need to go out and do good things. And then that will acknowledge that Jesus, you know, no. Jesus, Son of God, theology, doctrine, important things. And again, they work together. Truth here is the mark of reality of obedience and growth and character, and then that comes out then in love for each other. Do we acknowledge with our mouths and really believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Son of God. That's what the important thing is. And if you have, we can be assured. We know that we're in him. If we can really say, yes, I believe that. And in the face of doubts, in the face of failures, if you fall, if you screw up, you sin, whatever it may be, even there, if you can look back and say, you know what? Even in that, even though I know I'm doing wrong, I've done wrong, whatever it may be, if you can understand with your mind that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and you have that willingness to turn again and again and again, wherever it takes, you can be assured. If you don't feel that, then there could be a question. Now, as I was thinking about this, this really sets up well for a good old-fashioned Baptist altar call. You know, everyone bow your heads, raise your hand, I see that hand, come on forward, right? Don't worry, I'm not going to. It's okay. But, here's the thing, and this is interesting. You have a small church, like ours, right? Communal ground, we know everybody. We've been with each other, we know each other, we know each other's character, we know our ups and downs. how does this call, so to speak, affect us? How do we deal with this then? If I'm not going to stand here because we're not having new people come in where I don't know them, I don't know the spiritual state, I've never talked to them before, you know, so I could easily say, hey, you know what? I'm not sure, but if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you could do it right now. How does that work for us? In our 20, 25, 30 people we have here. Jerry Bridges, in one of his books, says that we need to preach the gospel ourselves every day. Every day. Every day should be an exercise in coming to Him again. You know, I used to, go to youth events when I was in high school, and it seemed like it was the same kids would go forward every time. I mean, this is over a period of years, right? I mean, 7th through 12th grade, I go to these big youth rallies. They say they'd ask for people to come up and accept the Lord. They'd ask for people who wanted to recommit. And it's always the same ones, over and over and over again. And I think there's something not right there. You know, they don't have any assurance, apparently, okay? On the other hand, these scriptures, and again, as we want to hear God, as here, we get the same scripture 2 weeks in a row, and we're seeing this over and over again. The idea of loving one another, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. We can reflect. Maybe not in an altar call way, but each of us can think of these things and ask the questions. Do you experience the Holy Spirit? I mean, for real. Okay, folks? Not in this intellectual way. But like you experience a person in a relationship. Is that the experience of the Holy Spirit in your life? It doesn't have to be weird, okay? I'm not talking about falling over backwards in your kitchen table and having visions or anything like that, but just the day-to-day reality that there's this person that's with you, that loves you, that hears you, that wants to be with you and affects every part of your life. That dynamic interaction of God and us, is that a reality in your life? Do you want it to be more? Remember, sometimes the wanting to is, you may not experience, you think, I'm not feeling that. Do you want it to? And you can take that as assurance. That's God saying, yes, I'm here. Spirit's there. I'm here. And we can take it to Him. Do you experience a dynamic life in the Spirit? That was assurance number one. Do you experience the dynamic testimony of Scripture in your life? Do you have a desire? Now again, not that we're doing it. The old read the Bible can be a good sledgehammer. Okay, and I'm not here to do that. But do you want to? Do you have something in your life, some aspect of your life where you want this to be part of? You want to know more. You want to hear from more. In the morning, evening, whatever it is. Going through a daily bread devotional each day or something. Is there a part of your life? And that comes back to the dynamic of the Spirit in you. Do you desire God's Word? Do you want to? Do you go to Sunday school thinking, oh, I can hardly wait to learn something? Assurance two is, do you experience that dynamic testimony of Scripture? Acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God, which then brings us to three. Have you, or do you, regularly understand your relationship with God as a Christian hinges upon understanding Jesus as Son of God? In your prayers, in your desire to witness, if those opportunities come to you, is that what you are experiencing and acknowledging day by day? Is your daily life characterized by dynamic growth or desire for growth in Him? more and more and more. Now, this can be a hard question for any of us. You know, the Christian life is never a nice straight line going up towards heaven, right? I think for most of it, it's kind of a up and down and up and down, and then the whole heaven thing is like, you know, we could be here and then it's just like quick shot up, right? You know, that's what's going to happen. So in the ups, you may think, oh, I'm doing okay. But can you have that same assurance when you're on the low, when you're struggling, when you're doubting? Doubts are fine, folks. People get freaked out about doubting. I don't think God has a problem with it. He knows who he is. you're not gonna worry him. Come to him with these things. Come to each other with these things. Reflect and in an altar callie sort of way. If you come to Jesus, if God is convicting you in any way, or speaking to you in any way, if he's just even saying, hey, good job. I'm glad you're with me. I love being with you. Let's acknowledge that today. I am grateful for these things. Now, there are two more, so I know you'd be very excited. You could read, you know, that rest of that passage through 21 and see if you can guess what those two things will be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for you. And Lord, we want to hear you. Lord, I know that you want to speak to us, that you want us to hear you, and it seems, Lord, that maybe in some specific, dynamic, powerful ways you are speaking to Trinity Evangelical Free Church in Fenimore, Wisconsin. And Lord God, I pray you would open our ears to you. Lord, if there be any confession that needs to happen, Lord, move us so that we cannot do anything but. Lord, if there's anybody here who would struggle in love, Lord, I pray that they would understand the wholeness of the Spirit, that they don't need more Spirit, but that they just open themselves up more and more to you. And Lord, I pray that everyone here would have the absolute assurance that comes from acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God. And if they haven't, Lord, I pray that even right now, that would happen. We are grateful to you. And Lord, I pray that in this week that we would have more and more awareness and acknowledgement of the Spirit in our lives and of your Son, Jesus, the Son of God. And we thank you even in advance, knowing that you love and are working. And so we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.